Please turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 15. Actually, we're going to jump back to chapter 14 for a second because Jay didn't cover everything I asked him to cover. He left a couple verses out, and I don't want to get to the end of Luke and someone say, hey, we covered everything except those two verses. So we're going to go back and we're going to pick those up. And then we're going to look at some stuff. Well, this is all unique to Luke. So it's very exciting. So in Luke chapter 14, when he talks about the cost of being a disciple that Jay talked about last week, and in those terms that they talked about comparing relationships, the loving me more, and it comes out in Luke as you must hate your father, your mother, and all of that stuff. But the idea is what it means to have Jesus as king, because people are looking forward to the kingdom. They're wondering if Jesus is going to be king, and he says, yeah, but here's what it takes to be a disciple, a follower of me. And he says, I want you to think about this. I want you to think it all out and see if you're going to start and finish. And at the end of that, in verse 34, he says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The salt he's talking about is this message, that what it means to have Jesus as king, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to have him be in charge of everything, every decision you make. He says, if you lose that, what good are you? Salt becomes unsalty. It's not even good for the manure pile. Boy, that's pretty bad. If you don't even rate the manure pile. If you take this message away about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, if you try to sugarcoat it, if you try to water it down, if you try to just get people in and then tell them later what it means to join this group, and that's what a lot of people do, a lot of churches do. You have no idea what you're getting into. Jesus says you need to know what you're getting into, and you need to tell them what you're getting into. He says back in chapter 9, he says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, and there were words like this, I'll be ashamed of you. He says, so you've got to stick with this. This is the salt that makes you a follower of Jesus. Okay. Now we can go to chapter 15. In chapter 15, we have more unique Luke material, which means, if you're not used to me saying that, if we didn't have the Gospel of Luke, you would not have this in the New Testament. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, it's not in John. This when Luke was doing his careful investigation, remember we started all this? The whole sermon title of the series is Carefully Investigating Jesus, the whole Luke-Acts sequel. He came across this material and he put it in here for a reason, because Theophilus needed to understand. He needed to understand what Jesus was doing. He needed to understand who the people were that rejected Jesus and what he was doing. And it all has to do with what I called scary stories. It's Halloween. And, you know, In the old church traditions, in the Middle Ages, in the Catholic Church, they would talk about All Saints Day being November 1st, right? And we believe everybody is a saint, you know, the idea that we pray directly to Jesus. So a lot of churches have adapted to looking at all the the people that have gone before us. And boy, we've had a lot go before us, and we are so grateful for them and their faith. We've had a lot go this last year, and we never forget. We never forget. But here's a scary story. Have you ever lost anything? You know, the scariest thing I ever lost was my passport. Yeah, twice. Two different countries, once in Africa and once in Central America. When you know that feeling when you find out that something's gone, you say, that's scary. And that's what's going on in these stories. Now, you got to remember, in this story, the person who lost something was God. And what he lost was us. So keep that in mind. So let's start in chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered." Don't you love muttering? You know, a lot of us have trouble hearing. You can't really hear somebody who mutters. Anyway, they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And there were two types of sinners here. There was tax collectors, which had their own category, of which Matthew was one. You know, we talked about that back in Matthew. And there were just your regular everyday sinners like the rest of us. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law thought they did not fit into either one of those categories. And so they were muttering about the fact that Jesus is willing to talk to these people. So he tells them three stories. In verse 3, "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the sheep until he finds it?" Yeah, going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back. That's what this is from, right? He leaves the 99 and he goes looking for the one sheep. Now think about this. They can handle this story. Jesus has just backed him in the corner twice in the last two chapters about healing on the Sabbath day. Remember that? And he said, "Hey, if you have an ox that falls into a well, what do? Do you wait till Monday? No, you get it out." Right? So they understood this. Leaving the 99 and going to look for the one that was lost, taking care of it. So he says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together. He says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Jesus said, "I came looking for these people. Do you understand? I am so excited. I'm going to call my friends and we're going to have a party. Come rejoice with me." Well, they could understand that. But this next one they could understand better. Because he tells them the same story in a different choices. Verse 8, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins." All right, 10 drachmas, the one-day labor thing, you know. For my Bible studies, you guys are familiar with this. We just kind of pin a nice even round number on this so I can remember. And we call it $100. Okay, that's a $100 coin. She's got 10 of them. She's got $1,000. It's probably all she has. He says, she has 10 silver coins and loses one. Loses $100. "Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." Even though these people that Jesus is talking to, the sinners and tax collectors, don't mean anything to the teachers of the law and Pharisees, they mean everything to Jesus. You get that? Okay, so one more story. You ready? Jesus continued, "There was a man, had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them." Wow. Okay, two sons, older and younger. In their culture, guess who gets the lion's share of everything? The older one, right? But the younger one gets something, right? So he goes to his dad and says, "I want it now." I don't know how you'd deal with that. Basically, he's saying, "Dad, I consider you dead. I want what I would get when you died. You're dead to me." Now, we usually think of that the other way around. You know, parents saying the children are dead to them. This is a really nasty thing to do by the younger one. And the father does it. And he gives him his inheritance. He says in verse 13, not long after that, you guys recognize the story, by the way? Yeah, the prodigal son? Yeah. Okay. We'll keep reading anyway. All right. Verse 13, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, all that his dad gave him, and he set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. We don't know how long that took. It doesn't tell us. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed. Yeah. How did the Jewish people feel about pigs? Okay. This isn't feeding sheep. This isn't pigs. Feeding pigs. You guys ever fed pigs? I never have, but it doesn't look like a very nice thing. Anyway, let's not get into that. Feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The pigs wouldn't even give him anything. By the way, these pods probably weren't digestible anyway, but it tells you how hungry he was. He's in a bad way. He's giving pigs that they hated something to eat, and he's starving. So it says here, when he came to his senses, that's something we all want for our children sometimes, isn't it? Came to his senses, and he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out. I will go back to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. He's typed out his resume, right? I don't know how good he was at it as a child. I'm sure he learned a lot, something as a child. But he was going to go and he was going to sell this whole thing. He had a speech worked out. And I don't know last time you worked on a speech. I got to give a toast at my son's. Yeah, yeah. You think it'd be easier for me after what I do? I was exhausted after that. You know, went over it and over it in my head. Anyway, so he had the speech all prepared. Dad, I don't deserve to call you dad anymore. I'd be happy to be one of your hired men so I could eat. Okay. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Remember the song that we just heard about being at the parapets, looking? Jesus tenderly calling. He's looking. He's watching. He's watching for you. And the father was watching for him because he saw him when he was way, way out there. He says, Father, okay. While he was still a long way, his father saw him, filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, that's a nice thing for a father to do, right? Remember who we're talking to? We're talking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. To them, that's undignified. To them, it's like, okay, why don't you go take a shower and then I will greet you? You smell like pig. He said, the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. He's been practicing this, and that's as far as he gets. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. He didn't even get to finish the speech. Bummer. You know, my toast, I cut it short because I thought, all these people are hungry and they're waiting for me to eat. And then there were two people behind me that didn't cut theirs short at all. I felt kind of bad about that. Okay. What do I, to us, this is a beautiful story, right? I mean, again, this is God running out, greeting us, the lost, the Gentiles, and wanting to celebrate, wanting to have a party, a big party, the fattened calf. We're going to throw a big party. He says, He says, I got two pages off. Sorry. He says, quick. Got that. In verse 25, meanwhile, back at the ranch, I only did that because it's cowboy Halloween. You guys get that? Okay. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out, like he did with the younger brother. He went out with the old. He went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." What's he doing right now? His dad says, "Come on in." And he's going, "No, I'm not going to do it. Never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with a prostitute, comes home, with prostitutes come home, you kill a fattened calf for him." How did he know? How did he know what the younger brother had been doing? You ever wonder that? It's not really relevant to the story. Maybe, yeah, maybe he was on Facebook. Any rate, it's not really relevant, but he has in his mind that his younger brother did, and he's right, right? He's right. He says, in verse 31, he says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And those stories went over really well with the Pharisees and teachers of the law. They got it. They got why Jesus is talking to the sinners and tax collectors. No, they didn't. They didn't. And we're going to find out why. But you have to come back next week. It has something to do with loving money and power. Before you come back next week, though, I want you to practice sneering in your mirror. Because, yeah, there you go. Some of you got your lip up already. Yeah. Because they're going to sneer at Jesus for all of this stuff. Now, that's different than steering. That's what cowboys do when they take the steer. No, this is sneering. Sneering. Okay. In this story, you were lost. I was lost. In the story, as Gentiles, we were lost. And Jesus came looking for us. And it didn't go over well with the religious leaders. And it didn't go over well when Paul reached out in the Gentile world. It didn't go over well when Cornelius became a believer. It didn't go over well with some people that think it just belongs to us. It's just us. It didn't go over well. And because of that, Paul is in prison in Rome, waiting trial, and Luke is trying to explain to Theophilus why he's there. And here's part of it. It's because Jesus reached out to the Samaritans, and Jesus reached out to the Greeks, and Jesus, and it's you, and it's me, and they were upset about that. But God said we were just lost. We were lost. We belonged to him, but we were lost. And then we heard about Jesus and we were found. And there was a big party. A really, really big party. And that party's coming. And I'm not talking about Cowboy Halloween. I'm talking about a really, really big party. Because Jesus, because God, is so excited about the fact that you have come back. That you're no longer lost. And there are other people that don't know yet, and we collect money. We want people to know about Jesus. That's what we pray about when we have offerings and all that, that people can know about Jesus, because this is what gets God very excited. You're willing to have a party. Parties are expensive. Yeah. Guess who pays for this party? Yeah, Jesus pays for this party. And we come together every Sunday as disciples, and we take the Lord's Supper, and we remember that Jesus paid for this party. We remember how much it cost. We remember the body, and we remember the blood. Very simple things, taking a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice to remember who paid for the party and how excited he was to do that. We're going to watch a video before we take the Lord's Supper this morning. And I have to warn you, there's some graphic parts. Basically, it's blood. There's some blood. And it's the kind of thing that makes you go, ugh. But guess what we're supposed to remember? Yeah. So prepare yourself as we prepare our minds to remember what Jesus did for us as our Savior and Lord.